Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 191 of What, Tom? Oh, the man already said, didn't he?
He did say it. Yeah. I don't need to say it.
Nah.
You all know. Coming welcome. At you live from home.
Yes, I was going to say welcome back to us in, I'm in a spare room. Are you in like an office or something?
I'm on the couch at home in the living room because all the office spaces are taken up by people doing real work.
What do you mean?
School work.
Very serious with our work here. Very serious podcasting work to do.
Oh, it keeps the lights on.
Yeah, that's true. I've been home for a very long time, like most people, and I've been doing... I've noticed, I don't know about you, but I've noticed I am in a different routine of things that I want to enjoy when I'm at home. So whilst I'm cooking, instead of like cooking stuff and then walking away from the kitchen to watch television or whatever, I'll stay in the kitchen and fold out my, roll out my felt puzzle holder and just do a puzzle whilst cooking.
Oh, sure. Mixing things up.
Put it on the kitchen bench and just like quietly puzzle away whilst the food's bubbling away.
I put my headphones in when I'm doing the cooking, and that's a good 30 to 40 minutes that no one else exists.
Are you doing podcasts or music for that?
Depends on what sort of meal and what day it is.
Yeah.
And also time of the day. Lunchtime would generally be a podcast. I've been quite enjoying Dominic Monaghan and Billy Boyd. They from Lord of the Rings. They've got a new podcast called Friendship Onion.
Friendship Onion, as in I'm peeling back the layers of friendship?
Yes.
Cool.
Very much so. And it's just two guys that are best friends talking nonsense. They get Elijah Wood on from time to time. They have quizzes and puzzles and you know, just talk about Lord of the Rings behind the scenes stuff. It's pretty great.
Have they managed to get Sean Astin?
No.
That's okay. Not yet. Not yet is the answer for that. Not yet.
That's right. It's not that they don't get on. It's he was much older than the rest of them when they filmed that and stuff. He had kids and things.
Yeah.
So they all went out and partied. And he just wanted to, you know, be a family man. Good on him.
Different way of bonding. I listen to a podcast called Play, Watch, Listen. And it's got Alana Pierce, who used to be like a games journalist, but now she's a writer for video games. Troy Baker, who's a games voice actor. Mike Bithell, who's a game director. And Austin Wintory, who's a game composer. And they all just talk about their different experiences and stuff within the industry. It's kind of interesting, but they get very sidetracked, and I think they really enjoy how clever they are at times. So sometimes you're like, oh. So every once in a while I'll tune into to an episode, but it's and you know, depending on what they're talking about, it's genuinely interesting, but other times you're just like, oh, I might
skip those.
Yeah, I might just watch something really stupid because I just want to watch something really stupid. Should we get into the news?
Yes, I was going to say I've watched some stupid stuff this week. It's great, but there's some good news.
Yes.
And I've seen a trailer. You've seen a trailer. I've got a fact in my bag.
Yes. I got a fun quiz for you. And I believe that if you are listening from home or on a walk or driving or wherever you are in the world, I think you'll be able to enjoy partaking in it as well. It's one that sort of gets your brain going, but not too difficult. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And hey, we should mention that we're still doing the Friday lunchtime quiz as well, where if you enjoy the quiz at the end of the show, this is just like a sampler of all the craziness that goes down on the live show.
Absolutely. We were actually talking about some of the questions before we started recording, and there's some real blast from the past stuff going on, like proper childhood memory. I won't give away too much, but things that you probably completely forgot you watched when you were growing up. So good fun.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. The Tough Bros for Life cross-stitching group are holding their annual open day and exhibition this Saturday. On display will be their wonderful works, all inspired by this year's theme, Zombie Apocalypse. It's impressive that they can make the gore and blood look so realistic when all they're using is stranded cotton thread. The panic and fear in the eyes of the living are brought to life by the Tough Bros, who really should be considered artistes from this day forward. Most of the works will be for sale, so if you're looking for a birthday present for your grandmother or three-year-old niece, go get some of this cross-stitching gold. With the whole world talking about sports lately, the council would like to remind all residents that hockey is the official sport of Watchersville. Everyone is permitted to watch all games on TV and attend training sessions down at their local water-based turf pitches twice a week. As we have 58 separate fields in the area, overcrowding shouldn't be an issue. Speaking of issues, if you're caught not playing hockey, you will be issued a fine of up to $20,000, which is pretty reasonable. It's been officially announced that everybody's favourite person on TV, Mary Berry, will be coming to town next month to judge the Scout Scones competition. It's incredibly exciting for the kids, including the brownies, who will be showing off their baking skills with, yes, you guessed it, flatbreads from around the world. If you want to be part of the audience for this exciting event, make sure you contact the Brown Owl. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Okay, should we talk about... No, we'll do the trailer that we both enjoyed later. I think you should kick off the news.
All right. Well, there was an awful lot of news because Comic-Con happened over the weekend. And when I say awful lot, I'm being very generous because it was not at all the sort of Comic-Con deluge of news that we would have gotten in the past. And there's been news that's come out since then that would normally have been announced at a Comic-Con type thing. So it was a much, much more scaled back event. It is kind of weird, though, because there have been other events like New York Comic-Con and things that have happened since then that have had more online presence, live panels and stuff. Everything at Comic-Con was and at San Diego that just happened was pre-recorded last week. So it wasn't really breaking news and this sort of stuff. However, we got a few things that came out. There were a bunch of Walking Dead panels for, you know, one for each show, and they're all teasing what's coming up and coming ahead. Fear the Walking Dead sounds very interesting. They're going to be dealing with the nuclear fallout. They did suggest that timeline-wise, we may see that nuclear fallout reflected on one of the other shows at another point. World Beyond, they made very clear why there's only two seasons of it. This next season will wrap it up is because it slots in between two of these storylines. So I hope that doesn't mean that a bomb drops on them.
Yeah, and then they all die. I was confused how far Fear was, like how many time jumps they've done, because I know the main Walking Dead did a few time jumps, and also it's got, what, 11 seasons in now?
Yeah, I think Fear, like proper Walking Dead, might be 5 years ahead at this point or something. I don't who knows? I'm sure someone's got it written down somewhere, but look, I think we're going to see that World Beyond will tie back into Walking Dead proper with Commonwealth or something along those lines.
Yeah, with no news. I mean, was there any news about any of the movies from Comic-Con or not? Yeah,
no, other than Robert Kirkman saying, we haven't abandoned the movies, we're still working on it. Andrew Lincoln's very busy. It needs to slot in with him. We're trying to make the best script possible. You know, if we're going to do the movies, we want to make them the best they can be. Yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
TBC.
Yeah, really. Like, it almost feels a bit when's the next Game of Thrones book coming out kind of thing happening.
Yeah. Or have you missed the opportunity? Yep. Is it worth financially worth doing?
Yeah, true.
That sort of thing.
True.
Then over on the Doctor Who stuff, there was a pretty cool trailer. Didn't give away too much stuff of things coming up for season 13. This will be the third season for Jodie.
Yep.
Which Matt Smith and Peter Capaldi have both left at the end of their third season. So it's unknown how long, you know, she's not confirmed to stay on any longer than at this point. However, we did see in that trailer that Grey Worm from Game of Thrones, Jacob Anderson, he's joining the cast as someone named Vinda, who looks kind of Han Solo with an Afro badass space pirate kind of vibe.
That sounds cool. There were so many actors from Game of Thrones that were genuinely good or stood out, you know, over the course of all the seasons. And some of them, and we'll be talking about one of them a little bit later on, but some of them you're like, oh, they should be in more stuff by now. Like, they were good. They should be in more stuff by now. And he's one of them. So that's really cool to hear that he's going to such a big show like Doctor Who.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not sure whether that's for one episode or for the season, that sort of stuff we didn't quite find out, but either way, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
One that wasn't quite as cool, but if anyone can work it out, it's these guys. So the DC Legends of Tomorrow had their panel, and Matt Ryan, he plays John Constantine, and he played John Constantine on a different show called Constantine for a different network, and then got brought over this, and it was a big, oh, you know, multiverse is being brought together, this sort of thing.
Yeah.
So next season, John Constantine will be leaving the show, or like at the end of this season, will be leaving the show, but Matt Ryan, who plays it, won't be. This is not the first time that they've had an actor just start playing a different character. From what I understand, the team is going to lose their time ship and be stuck in the early 20th century.
Awesome.
And he is going to be a Welsh scientist that they stumble upon.
Do an accent.
Well, and he's Irish, I believe. He may be Welsh doing an Irish accent.
Yeah,
I'm
maybe,
not sure.
Maybe.
But, yeah, he's played a stuffy English butler on the show and all this sort of stuff before. So to have him just come in as a completely different character, and, yeah, he's going to be a scientist in early 20th century who's attempting to help send them back home.
Oh, that sounds cool. I like the way that show does all different things.
They do all this stuff. And look, they didn't talk about this at the Comic-Con panel, but it has come out afterwards that this is a directive from Warner Brothers, because J.J. Abrams is working on a Constantine or Justice League Dark, which, you know, imagine a magic team version of the Justice League. That's Justice League Dark, and John Constantine is a big factor of that. J.J. Abrams and his crew are working on a series for HBO Max, and they don't want, I don't know, they think that audiences can't handle having two actors play the same character at the same time, and that's why they don't double up on Supermans and this sort of stuff. So, yeah, that's the reason why they can't have him. So that's crazy that they've got to change for that. The other thing that's great is each season – at some point, so they've got this time ship that they fly through space and time in, and it has an AI, like a female voice who talks to them all the time. And each season, for sillier and sillier reasons, at some point the ship breaks and the voice gets a human form. And it's always, and it's the actual lady who voices the ship, plays it at some point. Next season, because they lose the ship, I don't know how, but she's just going to hang out with the team.
If there's a show that can,
part of the team now.
It kind of reminds me of Red Dwarf. Oh, what was the ship's computer's name? And it just changed. Well, I can't remember. I think it was a woman in the beginning and a man later on, or vice versa. Yeah. But that wasn't a person. It was just a head, I think. Here's a good segue. I was trying to think of the segue. Speaking of shows that just suddenly change actors or characters, Days of Our Lives. I've got a Days of Our Lives story. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is because it's getting a limited series. I know it's confusing because the soapy is still on air. It's been on air since, the 1960s or something like that. But they're expanding the world, and there's a 5-episode series called Days of Our Lives Beyond Salem. It'll be on Peacock, and Lisa Rinna will be returning as the character that she used to be on, that she used to be in Days of Our Lives. So the episode's going to take place over a long weekend, and a whole heap of different main characters from Days of Our Lives will go on adventures. So there'll be some going to Zurich, New Orleans, Phoenix, Miami, like a whole heap of different places. However, these parts of the world, I'm reading from the article, these parts of the world don't prove to be any more relaxing than Salem is. So there's a whole heap of mystery. There's a mystery about stolen jewels and whatnot. Anyway, the reason I'm talking about this is because I think it's so cool that a show like a soapy that has got like a soap, like I said, the soapies have been around for years, and that's what they do. They have a long, elongated storyline that never ends. Like, these stories never end. It just continues. Then to have a limited series, which is almost like a spin-off but not quite, I think that's really interesting. And it makes me think that other shows, not just soapies, but other shows could do this kind of thing as well, kind of like the way The Walking Dead are doing it with World Beyond, where the different branches. Also, it would allow some programs to jump outside of their genre. So, you know, you could have, I don't know, The Office, for example, but suddenly it could be a drama, or, you know, some weird sci-fi stuff comes into it. And it's almost fan fiction, almost, in that
almost.
If you get the fans on board, they're gonna lap up a whole heap of different things.
I would have loved a spin-off of Lost that was set in the 70s, and it was the hippie community, scientists living on it, and it just, you know, have it be like Partridge Family or something, like a cheesy sitcom.
This kind of stuff, I think there's so many programs and so many streaming services in the world at the moment that places like Peacock or whatever, where they want to do something a bit different, should push themselves to do different things. If it lands, it lands. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Go back to doing your 5 days a week, Days of Our Lives thing, you know?
A wise man once leant over and whispered in my ear, "We tweet, therefore we are." Profound and a little creepy. Follow The Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1. They aren't creepy. I promise.
So there was a bunch of different Marvel news and tidbits that were flying around. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which is Ant-Man and the Wasp, or Ant-Man 3, that started filming yesterday in Atlanta. And without giving too much away, because I think it's still within that little bubble of spoilery stuff, some ones maybe from Loki will be appearing in that film for sure, guaranteed.
Yep.
But there's other stuff which we've talked about before of people that may or may not be appearing places, which is pretty cool. So we've talked about Charlie Cox as Daredevil, or just as Matt Mervyn Ock, maybe popping up in next Spider-Man.
Yep.
There's some rumors going that Jessica Jones, Kristen Ritter, will be in She-Hulk.
Yeah, cool.
And now it's looking like they may have talked Vincent D'Onofrio into coming back into as playing Kingpin. Now, I don't think that would have taken much effort, because he's been very vocal about that's one of the best roles he's ever had, and he wants to keep playing it. So it's looking like he may be included in some way in Hawkeye, the TV show, which is coming later this year. So this is all very interesting. It's a way to bring those Netflix actors in and still acknowledge their performance, but they'll probably reboot the characters slightly.
I think the Jessica Jones one is interesting, because that was a series on Netflix that, even though it was Marvel stuff, a lot of people who were not necessarily Marvel fans really got into that show.
Yeah. Likewise with The Punisher.
Yeah.
I could really see John Bernthal, he's really keen to keep playing it as well. So I'm sure the second there's they want to do a more hardcore Marvel movie, just knock on the door, he'll be there.
I reckon fans would be pretty on board with all of that too, because
For sure.
Him as Punisher went down very well.
Yeah, it was only, what's his name, Finn Jones as Iron Fist.
Mm.
He was the only one that was kind of miscast, and that's because it's very difficult to cast that role.
Yeah, do you know anything about Black Lightning? Because that was a pretty popular Netflix show as well.
Yeah, so that's DC, and he's part of, like in the States, they show that on the CW, so he's now part of Arrow, Flash, that universe. He got folded in there last year, year before, when they did their big multiverse crossover.
Yeah, cool.
It's confusing.
It's so confusing. Particularly for casual people who just jump into a series and enjoy the series as a entity, you know, just a sole entity by itself, it's very confusing.
You know what's not confusing?
What?
The smart decision to renew Lego Masters Australia for seasons 4 and 5.
Yes. Oh, that's so good.
It's elementary. Why wouldn't you?
We've got 2 more years of it then.
Yep.
That's great. Perfect. That's great news.
Perfect.
I would like to see in the next couple of years crossovers between the different countries. Lego Masters.
There has to be like Lego Ultimate Masters, which is where they put everyone that won a season across the different shows all together.
I would love to watch that.
Because I think there's 3 Australian,
yep.
2 American, or a third one happening in America now, that's 6. And then there's 3 or 4 seasons in the UK.
Isn't there a Swedish one, or maybe I think there are European ones as well. I think.
Sure. I don't think we're allowed to see them outside that mainland.
Banned.
Banned.
Hey, Mary. Something about that makes me think it's not actually hair gel. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Leslie Odom Jr., who played Aaron Burr in the original Hamilton cast, the one that's on Disney+, he is going to be in the reboot of The Exorcist. You know how we were talking about The Exorcist last week or the week before or sometime? So they're starting to kind of let the world know who's going to be in this. And good news, Ellen Burstyn will be back in her original role. She was, of course, the mother. But right. what I didn't realize when we were talking about The Exorcist reboot last time was that it's not one movie. They've got a trilogy planned.
Sure.
That's really super interesting. They want to get the first movie out October 2023, and I assume, you know, every year after that. But because it's also part of like that NBC Universal, they also want to release it on Peacock as well over in the US at the same time. But I'm also wondering, like, 2023 is a fair way out of the pandemic. If we as a world have started to settle back into going to the cinemas, going back to the movie theaters for those big releases, like those big events. And I feel like The Exorcist, at least a reboot, would be a big event.
I don't know. I'm locked down again.
Fair enough.
I'm cranky because Suicide Squad comes out in like a week and a half. And that's not,
not
I don't have
that
HBO
yet.
Max.
Yeah, that's not for you.
So I agree, 2023, it's a long time away to be planning for that sort of stuff in advance. But it also kind of makes sense for their subscription numbers to entice people now, let them know, you know, we've got these big things planned.
Do you know how much money that original one has made? Over $440 million.
Wow, that's enough money to make your head spin.
Next story, please.
So I'm going to mention this story, and I think it might just dovetail segue straight into one of your trailers.
Oh, okay.
Zack Snyder and Warner Brothers are no longer best friends.
Uh-oh.
And that's clearly been – we've seen that happening for a while, and he was pretty cranky over the whole Justice League. His vision, even though they threw a lot of money at him to do it, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
He and his production company, Stone Quarry Productions, have signed a Netflix first look deal for at least 2 years.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So Army of the Dead, was that the first one that he, is that the first project that he's worked on for Netflix? I think so,
yes, that's
right?
The first thing he's not done for Warner Brothers in years.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah. That went that well. And then there's a spin-off film, which I think we'll talk about in a minute. There's a spin-off anime series, which is already in production and coming soon.
Mm.
And they announced that he's already begun work on Army of the Dead 2.
Mm. Which, oh, my gosh, he's really busy.
He is very, very busy. Now, he didn't direct the should we just talk about it now?
Yeah,
what's it
let's
called?
Just talk about it. So this is this was at Comic-Con, right? San Diego Comic-Con. Mm. The Army of the Dead prequel called Army of Thieves. Now, I think that, you know, Zack Snyder and whoever else was involved in Army of the Dead pretty much knew that that character Dieter, or I should say Ludwig Dieter, was going to be a fan favorite.
Mm.
So much so that they... Before they even released the Army of the Dead, they had already started production on this prequel, and it's a money heist movie set in Europe, and it just sounds like a really, really fun time.
Yeah, and it acknowledges the fact that zombies exist. They're just not in that part of the world when this is taking place. What a cool hook. Yeah. Look, we were talking about this earlier. It's great to see people experimenting with genres in the same story. So if you're building out a great world, who knows? Maybe we'll get a few clues as to why some of those zombies blew up and had blue mist come out of their heads.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there'll be a few things that
I think there will be
that way.
I think there will be. Yeah. And speaking of Game of Thrones, what's her name in Game of Thrones?
Emmanuel. Yeah, no, it's not Emmanuel Tickley.
Natalie Emmanuel. Oh my gosh, I can't remember her name, but Danny's helper who got Cersei. Yeah, got Cersei in the end. Anyway, she's kind of. She looks like the other main character. Judging by the trailer, she looks like the other main character from Ludwig Dieter. And she's like, let's do this. And he's like, no worries. I'm really good at cracking safes. What I thought was interesting in the trailer is he seems way more confident.
He's the director as well. I think he had a hand in writing the film and he directed it. And maybe that's why he seems a little more confident.
He's really confident. He is. So this one is going to be coming out this year, I think, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Onto Netflix, which is really exciting.
Solving mysteries, rewriting histories. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
One last thing. I've got one last story that I saw. From Disney Plus. So they're making a murder mystery series for their star part of Disney Plus called Wedding Season. It'll have 8 episodes. I'm not sure if it's a limited series or ongoing, but it's about a bride who we meet on her wedding day, and she's surrounded by a whole heap of dead bodies, including her husband and every one of his family. The police think her lover did it. Her lover thinks she did it. She also thinks her ex-husband did it, and no one knows what the truth is. So clearly it's kind of going to be unveiled. It's supposed to be a bit of a comedy murder mystery. But this is going to be – so this is from the UK. This is going to be the 15th Disney Plus original announced from Europe, and they've got a projected number that they want by 2024. They want 50 projects coming from Europe for Disney Plus. That's really cool. Original projects.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Because I keep thinking about, you know, that first year that we had Disney Plus, and it was great to have it. You know, you could watch all your old favorites and everything. There weren't many new things coming along. And, you know, we get to now and we've had a whole heap of new stuff, but there's so much more coming. And that's really exciting. Cool.
Disney have just set up an internal Marvel animation studio. So,
awesome.
They've been so impressed with how What If has come together, and it's not confirmed, but it's a badly kept secret that What If season 2 is already well in production. And I think there's been an Aussie studio working on some of it. So it makes a lot of sense that they're doing these things and these animation studios. So we may end up getting more Disney animation work down here as well.
That's really good news.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of good news stories this week, haven't we?
Has been a lot of good. And I want to finish off with a nice trailer.
Yeah, go on.
I don't know if you saw the trailer, but there was one the other day that tugged at all my nostalgic heartstrings. It's like, when was the last time you spent time with friends? Made me think about things. I was like, yeah, I do want to catch up with the Jackass guys. So it was the trailer for Jackass Forever. And, man, they look old.
Well, Johnny Knoxville's grey now.
Yep.
I suspect 49. He has been for a while, though. He was dying it. Yeah. Yeah.
I think so. So he's 49 and he looks in pretty rough shape. Steve-O looks like he gets hurt a bunch. Bam Margera was not invited back because he's been threatening various members and this sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Get help, Bram.
Yeah, there's some issues there, which is a shame.
There's new guys. Jasper, as I said, with the sharks, shark episode, he's been called up to the big leagues. A couple of other guys, they look like they're going to have some rough initiation.
So do you reckon, because you saw the Shark Week special episode that you kind of almost got a bit of an introduction to these guys. So that by the time this comes out, they're not going to feel new or like, well, I don't know if I'm going to like them or not, because at least now you've got an idea of how they sit.
No, because there's like six new members, including one of them's a woman.
They
finally have a female stunt person. There's no way around it. One of the main members is dead.
Yeah.
Another one is, a messed up drug addict and not invited back. Or they needed some fresh faces in the mix.
For sure.
But it also looks like some of the guys that would have been considered a B level or, second tier level maybe get bumped up a bit.
Yeah, right.
So I know Dave Englund, who's the guy that in the first or way back in Jackass was the guy that went and did a poo in
nappy.
One? He went into a furniture store and like did a poo in a fake showroom toilet.
Oh, in the toilet, yes.
So he gets some stuff, and another guy named Aaron, who was quite young in the original series, he's much more grown up in this. He gets the big end of trailer sting. He gets taken into an interrogation room by some cops and like tied up and tied down to an electrocution chair.
My goodness.
And then someone comes in and smears fish oil all over him and puts salmon in his lap. And he's like, ha ha, what's going on here? And then they put a bear in the room.
I thought you were going to say just a whole heap of cats, but that, okay.
Nope. A bear. A bear walks into the room and there's a panicked look and then it smashes to black, a Jackass Forever coming very soon.
That's amazing. It's been years since I've seen any Jackass stuff. So I kind of feel like I want to watch this one just to sort of farewell the original blokes.
Well, do you know what got me even more excited?
What?
There's another person in the film that I was not expecting but makes me very happy they're there.
Who?
Eric Andre.
Oh, no. It's like they've gone, all right, we're going to need just not that we need to convince Tom, but just we just need that little the cherry on the top.
Jeff Tremaine, who's the director, he also directed Bad Trip, the Eric Andre movie.
Okay, yeah.
So that's where there's that link. He's also involved in Loiter Squad, which is where Jasper comes from. So it's kind of like he's pulled together a best of Birdhouse team rather than just straight up Jackass. I'm very excited for this. Coming very soon. Hey.
Yes.
Hey, do you hear that?
I think I do.
Do you know what that is? The bloody fact it is.
Yes! Okay. I've got my pen and my piece of paper and I'm ready to write this fact down because I've enjoyed the last few.
Well, it's a fact. I feel like I've heard it somewhere. Maybe you told it to me, which would be pretty funny if that was the case.
Oh, it sounds like something I'd do. All right, go.
You remember that movie Face Off?
Yes.
Do you remember who starred in it?
Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
John Travolta.
Yes.
And
those two.
Yeah.
So John Woo directed, right?
Right.
And when he came on to direct that film, he changed the original cast members to be those two guys because he felt that they would be a more interesting reflection of each other. Because originally the film was written and was ready to star Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone.
That is the most 90s casting for that movie that I've ever heard of.
Isn't it?
It's so predictable.
But and it's timing-wise, because if you think about things, Arnie and Sly would have been perfect if you'd made that film in 1992 through 93, 94.
Yep.
But then suddenly Nicolas Cage, John Travolta, they're both real, or Travolta's hot off Pulp Fiction, late '94. And Con Air has just come out, timing wise.
And that and around that time, Nicolas Cage was like a big actor. He'd done heaps of stuff before, but he was just starting to become that actor that does slightly weird things.
Yes,
not in real life as an actor. So to have him in a movie where the face comes off and gets put on someone else, that's weird. And to watch him switch, because he starts off as the bad guy, but then...
Correct. Then goes good.
And then he's good. So that watching that, I remember going, oh, how am I going to get my head around this? Because I always expected, you know, John Travolta to be the good guy. I think that original casting just would have been run-of-the-mill.
But it would have been a very big deal at the time. Because
oh, definitely.
First appearance of by the two of them on screen together.
Who? Okay, so on the poster, someone would have had to have had their name bigger, and then the other one would have had to have their face bigger. Because if I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger, I definitely do not want to be second billing, or vice versa.
They can argue that if you've got to go alphabetically, Schwarzenegger would be first. If you've got to go billing, Schwarzenegger would be first, especially at that time.
Yeah, it had been a while since Rambo.
Yeah.
Which Rocky had already – so the Rocky – I can't remember what number it is with his son.
Rocky 4 at that point.
Mm.
Rocky 3, maybe Rocky 4.
Yep. That is a good fact. I like that.
Thanks.
I don't think I told you that one. If I did, I've forgotten. Now it's time to get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Watch out.
That was good. I don't know. I've been watching movies. I've been watching a lot of movies lately. First one I want to talk about is one that I haven't seen for years, and it's Leon the Professional. Of course, I think it's Natalie Portman's first ever film, right?
Yes.
Have not seen that film for years. And it's funny when you rewatch stuff like that, where you go, oh, I know it. And then you think about it, you're like, no, I don't, like, I remember the beginning and the end, but how they get there, is a bit hazy. Oh, it holds up. It's such a good movie. Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it so much. Phone wasn't touched, just watching it the whole time. Really, really good. If you've never seen it before, a bit Pulp Fiction. Like, if you like Pulp Fiction, that's the kind, like, I think that would tie in nicely. I think you'd watch Leon the Professional. It's a little different.
Is it Luc Besson's first film?
Potentially.
Or, like, first major film?
Yeah, probably major.
English.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I really liked it. And I also ended up watching I'm just going to pack them in because I'm just going to talk about the movies.
Do it.
I also watched a movie called The Upside, and that has Kevin Hart. It's a real story.
Is it the remake of The French?
Yep. Brian, what's his name? I always say Malcolm in the Middle. Well, I love how you and I always sing Malcolm in the Middle, but Breaking Bad. He's in it as well as Nicole Kidman. I'd say all around the performances were really good. Like, I really liked Kevin Hart in this. Like, he brought that Kevin Hartness, but it was more realistic, but that's not. It was more in keeping with the role, and his performance brought positivity to the film itself. Nicole Kidman, I think, wasn't quite sure why she was there. She just kind of seemed a little bit confused the whole time, and I think that was fair enough. But a great movie and based on a true story as well. It's only a couple of years old, I think, that version of
the film. Yeah. A handful of years ago.
He has absolutely no – so he's an ex-con, has absolutely no experience in being a full-time carer for a person with a spinal cord injury. But somehow gets the job anyway and just nails it, just hits a home run, is the best person to take care of Brian's character at that time in their life. And apparently they're still really super close friends now, like the real life people to this day. So, yeah, because, you know, you always have to have a little look at what happened. If it's a real story, I'm going to be looking at what they look like in real life.
For sure.
What did you watch this week?
I watched the first episode of a show that I hadn't heard too much about, and then I watched it. Within 3 minutes, I was like, I like this show.
Yeah.
It's called Getaway Driver.
Okay.
And it's a reality series hosted by Michelle Rodriguez. each episode, three of the top amateur drivers from various drifting, street racing, basically nothing above board, get invited to bring their cars to the police, SWAT, and tactical response track.
Nice.
Where they're dropped in a random location within a dummy town, this fake town that's been built up. There are two exits. During the daytime run of the course, they're being chased by two SWAT cars. And at nighttime, it goes to three and one exit. If you ride off your car, that's on you.
Jeez.
Any damage your car takes, that's on you. You get out, you make 10 grand.
Wow. What a fun idea.
It's so cool. And it's really intense to watch these guys that think they're king shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very quickly discover that they don't know the lay of the land. They're being chased by people that train this course every single day.
Sure.
And in techniques how to take out their cars. And there's inevitably a moment where it's suddenly not a game to them anymore and they don't want their car to get hurt. And it's watching them play chicken with their own mental heads. I don't know. It's really interesting.
I like the whole obstacle course factor to it as well. Like that it's a giant obstacle course, right?
Well, it's like there's an abandoned factory.
Uh-huh.
And all this, so it was a town or something at one point, and it like maybe it's been used for military testing or something like that. But so there's an area that's woodlands, that's muddy and very low visibility. There's an area that has hidden tire traps in the long grass.
Oh, that's bad.
This is what I'm saying. Like, and it can fuck your car up.
And these cars wouldn't be cheap, right?
No. It's not like you might get dinged into a wall or something. It's like these guys are out to try and T-bone you.
Wow.
And stop you getting away. Oh, it was good.
So where are you watching this?
So I got it on iTunes. I think it might be like it's either Nat Geo or one of those, you know, reality-based channels in the States. Michelle Rodriguez looks like she's having the time of her life. She continues to get hotter as she gets older.
Every year's the prime of her life, you reckon?
I don't know. She used to be very hard.
Yeah.
And her features have softened a bit, and now she's like hot mamacita.
That sounds awesome.
It's playing on her character from Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
And ties in nicely with that universe that she would know all about these cars.
Of course.
Stuff. And the people coming in, you know, the first one is the three competitors in the first episode. The first one was a mid-20-year-old female nurse who does drag strip racing on Friday nights and is quite good. And she's known as like Sliding Sarah or something like that. And she's got a pretty tricked up road car that's designed to go fast off the mark. So she's really good at getting away from the cops. She's not great at turning. The second guy is from the hood and identified himself as a getaway driver.
Okay.
So he's had some previous experience with evasive maneuvering, shall we say.
Perfect.
They were being very,
well said.
Very careful about how they talked about this stuff. And his was just a street legal car, but driven very, very well.
Yeah, right.
And then the third guy was a hillbilly who'd built his own souped-up NASCAR/golf buggy thing.
I can't even picture that. I don't know what that would look like. I'm going to have to watch this episode.
He had a mullet and he was wearing jorts.
Okay, perfect. Yep, so he's from Reno 911.
Yep, and things don't go great for him, but I won't say too much on that one.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so This is my find of lockdown so far. There's only one episode out, but man, I'm keen for some more.
Nat Geo potentially. I'm going to look it up because I think that would be a fun one to sit down and watch whilst having dinner or whatever. Just have a laugh.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I watched a couple of episodes and I'm pretty sure they're new. I think it's another season of The Movies That Made Us on Netflix.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So there is Back to the Future, Pretty Woman, Jurassic Park, which you would, well, I mean, you would like the others as well, but that would be the one that I'd be interested
That's
to see.
My jam.
I'd be interested to hear if you watch it and go, oh, I knew all of that. And then the final one was Forrest Gump. I haven't seen Forrest Gump yet, but I've seen the other three, and I knew a fair bit about the Back to the Future stuff only because you hear about it, you know.
Of course,
yeah.
Through osmosis, it's been a long time.
Yes. Exactly. But hearing about Crispin, who played the dad, George McFly, and his acting techniques. Very funny. He sounded very annoying to some people.
Very eccentric.
Yeah, exactly. Like, apparently there was this whole discussion about how he should walk through the door into the diner, and they're just like, can you just walk in? Yeah, but that's not how my character would do it. Can you – I get it, but you've got 2 seconds to open the door before somebody has to hit their mark. Yeah, that kind of thing. Very funny. Pretty Woman, I didn't know – anything about. I think I've maybe only seen that movie a couple of times, but it was so, you know, such a huge, massive movie. Didn't realize it was Touchstone, aka Disney. And I think that's super interesting that Disney made a film about prostitutes. The original script was a much more serious affair. And it wasn't until Gary Marshall came in to direct it that it started to get some more humor into it, and the original scriptwriter got on board with that and was like, yeah, I realized once Gary was working on it with me, you know, or I was working with Gary, that's what had to happen. It needed to be lighter and more amusing. And apparently Jason Alexander, aka George,
I was about to say, got to be to do with him, right?
He was knocked back from that role about 20 times. And there were a couple of people within the production going, he's the guy you need, he's the guy you need. And as the movie and the script were slowly changing and evolving, suddenly it got to the point where they were like, oh, yeah, you're right, that is the guy we need. And he was interviewed in. It was really interesting to hear him say, I'm pretty sure he said something along the lines of, Gary did not like me in the beginning. He just could not stand me. And he also said if it wasn't for his role in Pretty Woman, he would never have gotten the role of George in Seinfeld.
Yeah, sure.
It just wouldn't have happened. So, yeah, really interesting. And I'll leave the Jurassic Park one more of a secret to you just so you can, you know, enjoy having it revealed during the program. But I really like that show because it's always movies that you've seen.
They pick well.
They always pick well, and they seem to, at this point in time, have enough of goodwill within Hollywood that producers, directors, actors are happy to talk to them about it.
Sure.
Like, they know what the show is now. It's more about celebrating the movie instead of knocking it.
Well, I think is it. Remember, we talked a little while ago the Disney. Plus, there's one about the theme park rides that's coming soon. That those guys teaming up with The Rock to produce.
Yeah, that would. I will watch that. I will watch that.
Yep.
It's like This Is Pop. I will. Yeah. That's my kind of show. Particularly during this time where you're like, I don't want to watch anything super heavy. Just show me something that is nostalgia-y, and that's it. So, yeah. Have you watched anything else this week?
I'm watching some cooking stuff because I've been cooking lots. I know a few weeks ago I talked about a show called Crime Scene Kitchen, where the contestants have to go into a kitchen that something has been cooked in, and they have to go through all the various clues and try and work out what it was and then make it themselves. They can't see what the other contestants are making. And they work 3.5 to 4 hours before revealing. And sometimes everyone made profiteroles and sometimes everyone made something completely different. Joel McHale was the host of the show.
Perfect.
And his snarkiness balanced the sugary sweetness very nicely. It was kind of very similar to Hamish hosting Lego Masters sort of setup.
Yeah, I can see that.
I got really into this show. So the finale was the other day. And the team that won, it wasn't particularly surprising, but the way they brought it home at the end was because every other episode they'd had to recreate what they thought something was. the final challenge was you got 5 hours to impress us. Go. And it was just a different ball game. The people that won were like, oh, I see how you got on the show. Type of level. But the reason why I'm bringing up all of this is COVID meant that they had to film one group and, you know, do qualifiers with one group set and then another one with them and then start bringing them together. Both separate groups had a highly strung person. One of them was a 40-year-old gay man. Another one was a mid-20-year-old, I'll say Bible Belt, maybe, woman her mom. I want to say highly strung, like both very highly strung. And when the teams finally got put together, they both sort of sized each other up and became more competitive.
Mortal enemies, I thought you were going to say.
No, not at all. But it rose them up, but it made the woman unhinge.
Really?
Yeah. And this is someone who'd been really tightly together and like very strict with her mother, but like, the whole way through, and there was one episode where she just unraveled and was crying and screaming at her mother.
Oh my gosh.
All this stuff. It's like, whoa, what happened here? And the next episode, she's back. So I'm very sorry about what happened there. I'd rather not talk about it.
Wow. Crime Scene Kitchen. That's what it is.
Scene Kitchen. I think it was maybe 10 episodes or something. Very throwaway, very easy and enjoyable. The other show that I'll give a plug to, I mean, I talk about Guy's Grocery Games and Triple D all the time, whatever. I've never really watched Cake Boss too much. I don't care for baking. I'm not much of a baker.
I get what you mean, yeah.
But there's a show that I hadn't seen before called Buddy versus Duff. Now, Buddy is Cake Boss.
Yep.
And Duff is other guy who
I think
has
he
a cake
had
show.
Another cake show. I kind of – because I watched a bit of both of those – and I kind of enjoyed Duff a little bit more. I'm trying to remember what the show was called. Ace of Cakes, I think it was called.
I think you might be right.
Very similar shows. Very, very similar.
Buddy is in New York and Duff is in LA.
Yep.
And they've just kicked off Buddy versus Duff 3.
Oh,
which
wow.
Is a competition show between the two of them, where each week they're given a theme and 24 hours to come up with the most impressive thing they can. And normally they'd have celebrity judges coming in and judging that. Can't do that because of COVID. Mm. So they have a warehouse space that each that they display their cake in, and 50 of the best bakers from one from each state in America are zoomed in to judge.
Oh, I like that idea.
Big thing. It's very cool. The first episode I watched, the theme was Safari. So one of them created a life-size lion jumping through the air, chomping into a gazelle.
or an impala. You're talking about like cakes. I just need
yes,
to
cakes. life-size, and had a projector behind displaying the savannah.
Amazing.
And then the other one did a life-size rhino, half a hippo, and a crocodile in a swamp. It was awesome.
So are these two making it themselves, or are they using their team?
Because they've got a team.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I remember in both shows there was always the teams and they would all work on stuff together.
So the first episode was the two main guys and their teams. The second episode that I watched last night, which is called like After Hours or something like that, is when Buddy and Duff aren't on the show.
Mm.
And it's the teams doing stuff smaller scale. I think they had 9 to 10 hours only. And it was circus theme. It was pretty cool.
Gosh, it's got real Lego Masters feel to it as well.
Yeah. So as I said, I don't care much for baking competition shows, but baking show off, turns out I don't mind.
Yeah, you learned something new about yourself today. This week, I should say. Any other watching suggestions?
No, that'll do. Hey, everything else is just comfort and trash. I will say that I've downloaded the first episode of a show called Adorableness. I will come back to report next week what that's about. I believe it's cute cat videos and this sort of stuff. It's calming balm for these trying times. I'm going to watch that with Shay later in the week and let you know what I think. Adorableness.
I may need to watch that as well, actually. All right, well, I think it's time for the quiz.
Hey,
guess the celeb couple based on the synopsis from the film or TV show they met on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the synopsis. I'll tell you if it's a movie or TV show, so that may give you a bit of context. And then once you figure out what the show is or the TV show or the movie, I should say, then you got to try and figure out what couple would have met.
All right.
On that set. Let's start with the beginning. I think this one's not too difficult. A comedy revolving around a group of teenage friends, their mishaps, and their coming of age set in the 1970s, Wisconsin. Eric Forman is a typical high school student growing up in Wisconsin. Yes.
It's that 70s show, and it's that beautiful love story that Demi Moore had to let Ashton Kutcher go so that he could end it back up with Mila Kunis.
That's it. That's exactly what it is. It's so funny that those two started off as a couple in the show and then all those years later ended up being the actual couple.
Yep. And I hope they don't hang out with Danny Masterson anymore.
I'm pretty sure they've deleted him off their phone contacts. What about this one?
So.
Nine noble families fight for control of the mythical land of Westeros. I really need to read much more, but I will.
So it's Game of Thrones.
Yes, Game of Thrones.
And it's got to be buddy John and his red-headed...
Ygritte.
Yeah. Leslie.
Yeah, Rose Leslie or Leslie Rose. I can never remember which order it is. But, yeah, Kit Harington. And I think they had a baby last year. So it really is a good feel-good love story for those two. Oh. This is easy. Right. A couple in a stagnated marriage live a deceptively mundane existence.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yep.
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
Obviously not the fairy tale ending now, but for many years they were together. Many years. Maybe 10?
Yeah, quite a bit. They collected a lot of children.
They had a menagerie of children.
They treated them like bloody Woolworth stickers.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, what about this one? I'd forgotten about this one, actually. In 1963, rodeo, I can't remember which way we pronounce it, cowboy, Jack, and ranch hand Ennis are hired by rancher Joe, basically Randy Quaid, as sheep herders in Wyoming. One night on the name of this movie, Jack makes a drunken pass at Ennis and is eventually reciprocated. Though Ennis...
So is Gyllenhaal... Is he married to Michelle Williams or something? Have I got
Heath
it the other
Ledger
way around?
Was married to Michelle Williams.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
so
right.
Brokeback Mountain. They had a kid.
Good one. You got me there.
Forgot that they were met and, the whole thing. This one's another kind of easy one, a comedy about brilliant, trying not to give stuff away, brilliant brains who are the kind of beautiful minds that understand how the universe works.
But so it's Big Bang Theory.
Do you remember who were a couple?
And Penny and Leonard.
Yeah.
He was getting into it in real life.
Yes. Not anymore though, right?
Really awkward.
Can you imagine having to do a show like that with someone you've broken up with? Goodness.
Oh, I'm sure Johnny Galecki has an awkward enough day most days anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I think she went, I think by the end of that show, Kaylee was married to someone else. So she'd well and truly moved on. A scientist, played by Vincent Price, builds an animated human being, the gentle character. The scientist dies before he can finish assembling this character, though, leaving the young man with a freakish appearance, enunciated
so
by...
So it's Edward Scissorhands.
Yes. Do you remember who...
And Johnny Depp and Winona were together for a while there.
Yep, that's
were
right.
Were they not?
They were.
Good one.
That was the last one. Oh, no, it was the last one. That was the last one. You got every single one of those.
Great snippy hands.
Yeah,
shame we're not on camera today.
No, we're not even recording the video. Hands. Snippy hands. That was a good quiz. I really like the synopsis aspect. I kind of feel like that's our real, like,
I
comfort zone.
Double layer of thing for me to solve then.
Yes.
Well done.
Yeah. Good fun. Good fun. And speaking of good fun, we will have more good fun on Friday at 12:30 lunchtime, Australian Eastern Standard Time, for another lunchtime quiz.
Woo.
We haven't finished the questions, but I'm sure by the time it gets to Friday, they will all be quality questions.
We've got so long.
We've got ages.
We've got so long.
They're going to be on, it's going to be on Facebook. So if you haven't already liked We Are The Watchers podcast on Facebook, do that now and just get yourself ready. It's nice to be organized.
Come on by.
Yeah.
Come on by. Come and hear the lunchtime song.
Yeah. We play it every week because we get reactions to it every week.
Yep.
The week we don't get reactions will be the last week we play it. Nah, we'll probably keep playing it.
We'll probably keep playing it.
Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
Oodle-ollie.